Red Film Radio, Venice Film Festival, Italy.
Red Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 77th Venice International Film Festival, and I'm very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Tycho Sullivan. Thank you very much for joining us.
No problem.
And we also have the producer of the film that we will be talking about now, Claire Strong. And the film that we'll be talking about is called To the Moon. So, once again, thank you very much for joining us. This is great. It's great to have you. And just to open up the dances, I suppose, would you care to maybe say a few words about the film and what it's about, just to our listeners who are not familiar with it yet?
Sure, yeah. No, listen, thanks for... It's really lovely to be here. And it's lovely to be presenting the film here. The film is an essay film about the moon and moonlight. It's half archive, half original photography, or a little bit more archive. And it explores, I suppose, the moon and its many meanings throughout history, and how the moon itself has come to mean so many things to everybody. Literally, almost everybody who's ever walked the earth has perceived the moon and associated something with it, whether that's a story or a myth or a song or a poem. And I guess what I was interested in and what I wanted to explore was how the moon has come to mean so much as a kind of a dead rock that hangs in the sky. It still manages to evoke so much art and thought for everybody, really. And it has this amazingly unifying power, both in terms of how people look at it together from wherever they may be, and also it's just a shared experience that we all have across time and across the world. So that's kind of the starting point.
Yes. And so, and the way you do it, of course, is via a wealth of archival material, literary passages, also music. The use of music is really great and works very well. And I just wanted to know about that process. I mean, just sort of how long does it take to sort of gather all the material and put it all together? What's the work like? What's the method, the process like?
So the film kind of started as an idea maybe 4 years ago, and it's had periods of intense work. And
4 years ago?
But yeah, as an idea, and then Production was maybe, 2 years ago? And here we are finished now. Like, the actual workflow, the gathering of the material could go from me sitting by the fire late at night with my iPad getting lost down a rabbit hole of poetry that is associated with the moon. So that's on one end of the spectrum. And the other end of the spectrum, there's Claire working with archives from Estonia to Japan and asking people to if you just give them a kind of a brief of finding things that evoke the moon and moonlight in their cinema culture, what would they come back with? Some people came back with very little, that's fine. Some people come back with amazing things. And that then will be channeled back to us through Jack Lunt, who's our brilliant assistant editor, and that then would come to me. And I then began to try and weave it together, I suppose is a slightly grandiose term, but sort of sew it all together into some kind of coherent essay. And that's kind of the workflow. Makes it sound easy, but it was an awful lot of work. And I think that the little bit of back and forth, and why I'm glad that Claire's here, is that there was a lot of back and forth in that I might alight upon something and love it. And then Claire had to work very hard behind the scenes in making sure that I was able to love it and not have to and be able to use it, because everything has to be, you know, archive is easy to work with on the one hand, but very, very difficult because you want to have an excellent copy of something and you need to be able to afford to pay for it. And that whole process of putting it in the film to me might feel easy, but, you know, when Claire, who can maybe speak to this a bit better.
I'd love to know more, actually.
There's a lot of work that goes on there to kind of draw all these elements together.
Yeah, so Claire, I'd love to know more about this side of just gathering the material from all of these different parts of the world.
Yeah, I mean, well, sometimes I think I might have the boring
no, not at all
process to report, because a lot of it is just like that, establishing relationships with archives and archive researchers to, you
know.
That
sounds fascinating to me.
Yeah, it is, and they're amazing people, and the work they do is so important. Yeah. And we were very lucky Tig is great pals with Cassandra O'Connell at the IFI Archive, and she introduced us to many people. And we also worked with FIAF, you know, the World Federation of Archives, and put messages out to all their members. Mm. And we just got such a great response. I mean, it's such a lovely question to ask them. You know, people who love film and who love old film, you know, we're looking for moonlight in scenes and what it evokes and the themes around it, you know. And what I suppose, you know, you might look at a film like this and there's one version of it which is all the obvious moon shots, you know, like E.T. and, and all that kind of stuff. But Tig isn't, that's not never sort of what you wanted. It was always more older, you know, rarer kind of material.
Yeah, I think it's more about evoking the sense of moonlight and the sense of what we associate with the moon and the various themes that we associate with the moon, rather than simply showing many moons. Mm. You know, in a way, to do that would be kind of a relatively easy exercise, you know, to find every shot you can of the moon in cinema. But what I was more interested in, and what I think people respond to in the film, in the making of it and in the watching of it, I hope, is that you're going beyond that to the ideas and themes that we all share. Share to some extent, but also might be surprised by. You know, there's an amazing sequence of Estonian archive from the early 80s where they're talking about the role of the moon in their folk culture. And it's done in quite a tongue-in-cheek way, talking about, you know, not spinning wool in the moonlight because if you do so, it'll be no good. And that's something that it's not a shared experience with me, for sure. I don't spin much wool anymore. But it's something that some other culture might recognize in themselves. So it's as much about the surprising thing as the universal.
Yeah. You know?
And so this is a constant kind of dialogue between me and what I'm trying to draw out and what I'm finding and being surprised by. And that, you know, that dialogue was ongoing at least with Claire, and through Claire then on to the different researchers, and this constant kind of many-noded conversation going on around the world as people kind of feed into this. You know, it's not me demanding certain things to come from places. It's me saying things and prompting an idea in somebody who then goes, I think I know what you're after, and have you seen this? And I'm like, no, that's amazing. You know, and then you very gratefully draw it into the film.
Absolutely, yeah.
So, yeah.
And it's actually great to see a film like this, as well made as this, that sort of makes use of the footage that is stored, preserved, is the right term, in film archives all over the world. Because right now, with the pandemic, so many of them are just under dire straits. I mean, the situation is not good. Some of them in particular are just not looked after as well. The Alexander Dovzhenko one and the Ukraine, the Cinemateca Brasileira come to mind. It's not easy for them right now. And it's great to actually see some of this footage, you know, used so creatively and so well into the moon. And because we are sort of running out of time right now, I would like to ask another question, because we talked about the film side of things, the images, which I should say some of them are particularly fascinating, because they will probably encourage people to actually watch these films that some of them have been forgotten and may not even be known. So that's another great thing about this film. But what about the poetry? What about the literary passages and how the actual film is structured? Because it is divided into little sections or chapters, we could say.
Yeah, I think the structure is something that I guess I like it when a film's form or film's shape in some way responds to the film's content. Yeah. You know, and for this, it seemed to evoke the cyclical and changing nature of the moon, you could create almost a cyclical and changing film, and to kind of capture that. So that gave me something to work on, because, you know, without a story to hook your film on, you're always looking for some class of structure. So that seemed apt. So as you say, the film is divided into phases of the moon, and each phase has a particular theme associated with it. So the film opens with a musing on love under the a sign of the full moon, if you like, and ends with the full moon. And then in between you go through madness, the supernatural, the connectedness of things, you know, such as the tides, and death and rebirth. So the film has its own kind of thematic structure that's folded into a lunar cycle. And what was your other question?
Just about the poetry, because we talked about some of which is recited by some really big names.
Yeah, the
and I'm saying poetry, of course, but I'm talking about just, I guess, the literary world
in general. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, like, I probably read more than I watch films. So for me, when I started thinking about this, the literature and poetry that I would have come across that evoked the moon from many different cultures, I suppose, was prominent, and it was something that I wanted to draw on. So things like, you know, Beckett and Joyce being close to home, but also a poet that I'm good friends with at home called Dearan Ní Gcríofha, who I asked to write something for the film. But then also things that I found serendipitously, such as Jennifer Elise Forster, who's a Native American poet. And I was in a bookshop in Amsterdam at IDFA around the time I met you. And I picked up this anthology of Native American books. Poetry, just to flick through, and came across a poem, took a photograph of it on my phone, and thought nothing more of it. And then a year later I was like, if only I had a poem which evoked, you know, something to do with, like, the fact that we're all our time on earth is very limited, and found this poem in my phone, which was exactly perfect for the film. And I just thought, that's that finding, you know, that connecting, the total serendipity of connecting across cultures is exactly what the film is about, and that ability to then, you know, for us, for me and Claire, to be able to email Jennifer Elise Forster in, I heard she Arizona, mm-hmm. And ask her permission, and for that to be granted without a second thought, is exactly what the film is about. It's about this shared experience, whether that's connecting in the making of the film or connecting in the watching of the film, or simply connecting when you're on a vaporetto in Venice and you look up and there's the moon hanging above the city and you're still not tired looking at it. I think that is the film for me.
Yeah.
So I'm happy with what that allowed, you know.
Hey, that was it's a fantastic film. I really loved watching it. I hope a lot of people watch it as well, especially after listening to you guys talk about it. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking with you about To the Moon. Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Millie.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.